Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Father, we just come before you this morning. We say thank you that we can worship you. Lord, that we can actually just lay everything at your feet this morning and just spend time with you. So, Lord, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and stand up.
Faithful in every season. Well, good morning, congregation. My name's Jeff. Most of you probably know me here, but maybe not on the radio or on live stream. But I'm up here this morning to share a little bit with you about my three. It's a journey that Pastor Tim has put us on many, many months ago to lift up at least three people that we know that don't know Jesus. He's called us to be consistent, persistent, and diligent in prayer. For those of you that haven't ever seen one of these before, it's a little card. It says, My Three. We have them out in the narthex. If you want to grab one, do so. But we do need to continue to pray for those that don't know Jesus. As believers, we know that there is great power in prayer. James tells us in chapter 5, verse 16, he reminds us that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. We need to pray. We need to pray for those that don't know Jesus so that one day we can walk together in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we call you Abba, Father, for you are our Father. And we pray that for those that don't know you, that one day they too will call you Abba, Father. We just lift them up. We lift everyone up here in this congregation that they will continue to pray fervently, not just today, but throughout the week and forever. We just call on your name. We lay those people at your feet, knowing that Jesus, full of grace, can bring them to the Father. We just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop. Introducing a new song to you this morning. And the Lord impressed upon me a verse from Leviticus 17:11 to share with you. It is, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." This verse is pointing to Jesus. His blood makes atonement for you and for me. Atonement to cover, to purify. And when I say cover, it's not just brushing my sins under a rug. No, he purified me. He purified you. Because Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross. He died for my sins so that I could live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. And because of that, I give Jesus my thanks. And we praise him and we worship him. Sorry. You have to bear with me. I'm a newbie at the guitar. But that's the beauty of grace, right? You know what? We're going to change cables. There we go. Thank you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Make every stronghold shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Because by your wounds we are healed. And we speak Jesus over depression, over anxiety, over fears. And we lay them at the altar and we give them to you, Lord. Over sickness and over disease. Lord, we give you our all, and we just thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we say thank you that we can actually just come before you and that we can actually learn more about who you are and what you've done. And Lord, we just say thank you for your blessings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is my phone. On my phone, I can go to the Venmo app, and I can send as much money as possible that my daughter would like in Hawaii. Through my Uber app, I can actually order a car to be at my door. Through my Facebook app, Messenger, I can actually talk to someone on the other side of the planet. Back in 2019, we actually had a young lady staying with us from the Ukraine. And we actually talked to her through Facebook Messenger. See, right here is the most powerful device you could ever have in just your hand. There's more technology in this than in this first space shuttle. There's more technology in this than what you can even imagine. I can even download my paychecks, do a remote deposit on this. That's my cell phone. You got that slide there, Jamie? You got to stay on her, you know. But here's the deal. When this phone goes dead, when this is not charged, it's a worthless piece of technology. If there is no power to this device, it is worthless. It just becomes a really expensive, expensive paperweight. And we don't even use paperweights anymore, do we? No, of course not. So I have to make sure that this is always ready. Well, talking about the power of prayer this morning, maybe you're like me. Maybe you struggle with finding time to sit down and pray. Like for me, just like this picture, doer. If the wife says, hey, I got a problem at work, I'm like, well, how can I fix it, right? I mean, is there any guys or girls in here that are like doers? Like you want to fix stuff? Come on. There we go. See, even as a pastor, you would think, oh, I just sit in my office and read the Bible and pray all day. I have a confession. I don't always do that. But you see, I want to fix things. It's hard for me to sit down and just spend time with God and pray. I mean, we're pulled in so many different directions. Well, this morning I want to talk about that. So we're going to pull up some scripture here. If you want to turn in your Bibles or turn on your phones or look on the screen, we have from 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. This is definitely one of my favorite verses because there's a promise at the end where they restore my land. So the first part of the scripture that really grabs me is this. Humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. See, God does not care about how many degrees you have. He doesn't care about what car you drive. He doesn't care how many accolades you have. He doesn't care if you're in the Illinois Hall of Fame for pickleball. I don't know. Is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing or not yet. But here's the deal. He doesn't care about that. All he wants us to do is take off our pride and follow him. That's it. And all you need to do is say, you know what, Father? I don't have it all figured out. I don't. But I know you do. And that's the important thing about humbling yourself. And then the next part of the scripture I feel like is, seek my face. It says to seek my face. Now, we're going to play a video here about, well, you'll figure it out. Go ahead and play that clip.
Where is the car key? I don't understand the digging. Michael, which hole has the car key in it?
Come on, I don't want to be late to this.
We're going to have a little talk when I get back.
It's a good thing you're cute. You're
killing me, man.
A better take on the spare key. The all-new Elantra with Hyundai Digital Key.
I'm hoping that I can send that in and get sponsorship or something. That would be nice. But see, the problem with what I was saying was seek your face. You're seeking something. Seeking, the word seeking is actually more than just standing in one place and looking. If you are actually saying the word seeking, then you are actively doing something. You're pulling up the cushions. You're pulling up whatever you need to do to find your wallet, find your keys, find anything that you've lost. Ladies, how many times have you lost your purse? Men, how many times have you lost your wallet? It's not a fun experience. It's not. You got credit cards, you got, you know, cash and all this stuff. But you are actively seeking for that stuff. And that's what the scripture is all about, of seeking, actively seeking my face. I'll tell you what, if I had a dog like that in the commercial, I wouldn't have it very long. So then the next part of the scripture says this, turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Each of us have probably a past. Some of us have had a very ugly past. Some of you, you know, I don't know your stories, but I'm sure some of us have got some really bad stories in here about the path that we were down. But if it says, turn from your wicked ways. So if you're going down a path where you are having sin and lying and cheating and doing all these other things that God doesn't want, he simply says this, turn 180 degrees and get back in the walk with the Father. It's really that simple. It really is that simple. That's the beauty of the gospel. And then after you've turned 180 degrees, it says this from that scripture. It says, hear from heaven. You know, the greatest thing that I can even think about was that actually no matter what prayer that we say, heaven actually hears us. The Heavenly Father actually hears us. He hears us. And then he goes on to this, forgive their sins. Well, who doesn't want forgiveness, right? Who doesn't want forgiveness? We all have sinned and fallen short. But with the humility, we come before him, ask for forgiveness, and he forgives. Well, he doesn't stop there. The last phrase that really grabs my attention about that verse is this. Restore our land. Restore our land. Or another version actually says heal our land. This simply means that after you have sought his face, you've turned from your wicked ways, and you ask for forgiveness, then what does he do? He restores our land. Actually, that is another in translation. It means to give us peace in our life. How many want peace in their life? I mean, sometimes having a boring, peaceful life is okay. You don't have to feel like you're being torn in all these different directions. Having peace in our life is a good thing. And I will say this, in our crazy times that we live in, no matter who is in the big house in Washington, D.C., that doesn't affect having peace in our life. Can I get an amen on that? Come on. So I'm going to talk about three different areas this morning about the power of prayer. Three different areas of the power of prayer. The first one is this: to invite God in. Number one, to invite God in. It says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." There's a famous painting, not sure exactly who did it, but there's a picture of Jesus on the outside in the garden, and he's knocking on the gate. But the one thing the painter did was there's no doorknob or latch on that gate. On the outside where Jesus is, there's no latch to let himself in. See, the thing is, you and I, we have to invite him in. It's not about he coming in and he's saying, you know, do this and do this and do this and do this. We have to invite him in to work in our life. The second area that I want to talk about this morning is this: communicate just with you. How many times do we get torn in all these different directions where all we need to do is just stop? There's a famous quote that I want to read it. It'll be on the screen as well. It's from that famous author, Unknown. We give our time, it says this, we give our time and energy to something that takes from us, but we don't set up time for the one who died for us. You have that, Jamie? No? All right, well, let me say it again then. We give our time and energy to something that takes from us, but we don't set up time for the one who died for us. We wake up, we make time for all these different appointments. We are running our kids to every little sporting game. We're running all over with different things, and we get so involved with so many different things. And some of those things are good, but how many of us just stop and say, okay, before I go off to my next appointment, I'm just going to stop and spend some time with the Lord. You think about our cell phones. I know many of you need to charge your cell phone multiple times a day. It's same with our prayer life. Same with our prayer life. You got to stay connected throughout the day. If we don't, our battery dies. So, I was asked if I had a prop for today. And of course, I have a prop. I'm not a magician. Are you ready? It's grapes. I'm going to put this right here. You take this bowl of grapes, all nice, green, purple, nice and plump. Mmm. I know. You guys want one, don't you? Oh, that's really good. Nice and juicy. But here's the deal with these grapes. You know that right in front of you in that nice bowl of grapes are a bunch of dying grapes? Those grapes are dead. Why? Because they've been cut from the vine. No longer are they connected to the vine that gives them their lush color, their nutrients. Nice, beautiful grapes. And yet, they're dead. They're no longer connected to the vine. I actually have a short clip of grapes being depleted. Ugh. How can something like this beautiful grape turn into ugliness like that? Well, guess what? If we don't stay connected to the Father, that's us. We're those grapes. If we don't stay connected to our Heavenly Father, that picture is a picture of us, because we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to the Father. See, our dialogue with the Heavenly Father, it has to be more than a monologue of God, I want this, God, I want this, God, I want this. It has to be a dialogue. Well, God uses a lot of different things before, you know, to speak to us. Sometimes he uses a special place. Sometimes he uses, obviously scripture. Other times he actually uses other people. And I'm going to tell you real quickly about two different people. One is this gentleman. His name is Dick Wadowitz. I call him Coach. This man was very instrumental in my life when I was a college student at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville. This man was a professor at the university, as well as a retired, he was the basketball coach at UW-Platteville when they were still in the NAIA division. So anyway, Dick Wadowitz, he was, somehow we got connected through InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he came up to me and he said, Kerwin, have you ever played racquetball? Do you guys know what racquetball is? I am a farm kid from northern Illinois. We never played racquetball on the farm. Racquetball is this big enclosed space where you are using a racket, rubber ball, and it's just you're playing off of all the different walls. Think kamikaze tennis inside, something like that. I mean, it is a dangerous sport, and you will get welts, and you will be in pain. Well, he invites me to play racquetball with him. He failed to mention that he's actually ranked in the state of Wisconsin in racquetball. He failed to mention that part. And I thought, I'm young, I'm looking good, I'm going to wipe the floor with this guy. I'm going to just beat him up. He's not going to want to play racquetball against this guy anymore. And lo and behold, if you know anything about racquetball, he stood in one place and just doot, 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 playing. I mean, he was laughing. I was running all over the place. I was going crazy. I was like trying to go to the back wall, go to the front wall, go to the side wall. He's then going back, and I was just running all over the place. In our 100-plus times we played racquetball together, I beat him one time. One single time. And it was a fluke because I hit the ball, the frame of my racket and not the net part, and dinked it on the front wall. And he was not happy. But every time we played golf, or racquetball, I mean, every time we played golf together or racquetball together, afterwards, after he had whooped my butt, we sat down and we simply talked about, how is your walk, Kerwin? How are you doing with your walk? He always wanted to invest in me. He wanted to know how I was doing. Here he is, a ranked racquetball player, ex-basketball coach, and he took time to actually invest in me. I hope someone has that in your life. The other person I want to introduce you to this morning, real quick here, is Dr. Terry Frick. This man was a GI doctor up at the UW Hospital in Madison, and we were in Madison 4 years while Angela pursued her pharmacy degree. And so I went to the church that Terry was at. And Terry, I had started playing guitar and singing, and he knew that I could actually do some of that stuff. But he's like, have you ever considered being a worship leader as a career? I go, no. Like, I'm in the health and fitness department. I'm not going to be a worship leader as a career. I mean, that's just someone that you just do. Well, lo and behold, he goes, how would you like to start leading worship here at Black Hawk Community Evangelical Free Church? The church is like 1,000-plus people at Madison. There's 3 morning services, and my last year that we added a 4th service. So you get a lot of practice. You get a lot of practice. He gave me opportunities to succeed, and he gave me opportunities to fail as a worship leader. But we spent hours upon hours upon hours at the local Perkins on University Avenue in Madison talking about worship over pie and coffee. Because you see, I was a bachelor. Angela was spending all this time studying to be a pharmacist that I had all this free time. So we spent hours and hours talking about worship and what it looks like and what it means. So I'm going to have the worship team come up now as I talk about my third point, because I'm sure you're keeping track. So the last point that I want to share with you guys this morning is this. Prayer is a weapon. You guys know that? Our prayers are a weapon. We have the ability to bind things in our life. We have the ability to loosen things in our life. The enemy does not like it when we pray. We have countless stories of parents praying for their children that have gone astray. We have countless stories of grandparents praying for healing in their families. So many stories of people being healed or set free from alcohol and drugs because they had people in their life praying. I ask you this morning that if you have been praying for a family member or a close friend that doesn't know the Lord, do not give up. There's actually a movie called The War Room. I know a person up north that actually has a closet with all of her post-it notes all over it and her praise reports, and she goes into her closet every single day and prays. Do not give up if you've been praying for a family member. So why am I talking about the power of prayer this morning? You know, it's such an easy thing to pray. And yet, we forget that the power that it brings. So I want to encourage you this morning to just take time out of your busy schedule. Spend time with the Lord and stay connected, just like those grapes. Stay connected to the Father. You can't do anything more about the grapes except eat them. But as a person walking with the Lord, we got to stay connected to the vine. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to say thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can come before you this morning and just worship you. Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you and whatever's on our hearts, Lord, that you know. And so, Father, we just pray that we would continue to stay connected to you, that we would stay connected so that we would not turn into the sour grapes. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just bless our time now. Amen and amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
This quote, it's from Oswald Chambers. It says this: we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. If you keep your eyes focused on the Father and not on the problems, you will overcome. You will overcome. And I know countless people that will vouch for that. So, stay connected to the Father. Stay connected. Don't be a grape. Every time you walk through the produce section now at the grocery store, you'll think about this. So, Lord, we just say thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can just come before you and worship. Lord, we pray that we would just stay connected to you. Stay connected to you in all that we do, wherever we are going, that we are connected to you. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.